You are listening to IP Management Voice, your podcast about the world of IP and IP management. We talk about the smartest minds in the knowledge economy so that you can learn from them. If you want to know more, you can subscribe to our newsletter and research the latest topics on our content platform, Dplex, with the world's most important experts on IP and IP management. The content featured in today's episode on the sales methodology comes from Bruce Vojak and Frank Chambers.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Today, we're going deep on something pretty fascinating, I think. It's called the sales methodology. And it's all about how businesses can not only survive, but actually thrive when those like huge technological disruptions happen.
Yeah, exactly. Those disruptions that can, you know, make a whole industry obsolete almost overnight.
It's crazy to think about, right? Like one day you're on top of the world, the next your entire business model is irrelevant. Poof. So how can companies avoid becoming another, what was that example?
Oh, like a Blockbuster.
Yeah, Blockbuster.
Yeah.
How can they avoid becoming the next Blockbuster? That's where this sales methodology comes in, right?
Exactly. And it's all laid out in this paper by Bruce Vojak and Frank Chambers. They present sales as this framework for, you know, IP road mapping.
IP road mapping meaning?
Meaning how companies protect their intellectual property, but specifically with a focus on navigating these like disruptive innovations.
Okay, so break the sales thing down for me. What does it stand for? What are we talking about here?
So each letter in sales points to a category of potential disruption. S is for standards.
Standards, okay.
Think about how the shift to digital music, like, completely wiped out the CD market.
Oh, yeah.
That's a standards disruption in action.
And the companies that didn't change well?
They went the way of the dodo.
Ouch. Okay, what's A?
A is for architectures. So, like, the whole architecture of personal computing changed when smartphones took off.
Right.
Suddenly, we weren't tied to our, you know, clunky desktops anymore.
So it's not just the technology itself. It's how it's all put together and how we use it. Interesting. Okay, what's next?
I is for integration and disintegration.
Integration and
disintegration. Sometimes technologies combine, like, think about smartphones, merging cameras, music players, GPS, all that.
Right.
And that shakes things up. Other times, technologies split apart, and that creates entirely new markets.
Huh. So you could have, like, one universal device that then breaks down into specialized gadgets for specific needs.
Exactly. Then there's L, which stands for linkages.
Okay, linkages.
It's all about how different parts of a system connect. So, like, if one link in the chain changes,
yeah,
it can cause ripples throughout the whole system, you know, disrupting how things have always been done.
Gotcha. So, if one piece of the puzzle changes, the whole picture gets jumbled up. Okay, that makes sense. What about the final S?
That one stands for substitutions. You know, the classic disruptive scenario.
Like when something new comes along and totally replaces something old.
Exactly. Think streaming video versus DVDs.
Oh, yeah, that's a perfect example. Okay, so sales gives us this, like, framework for thinking about all the ways tech can, you know, disrupt everything. But how does it actually work? Vojak and Chambers must have had some thoughts on that.
Oh, they definitely do. They talk a lot about identifying repeating patterns in history.
Oh, interesting. So by studying the past,
we can get better at predicting the future.
So it's like that saying, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. But instead of repeating mistakes,
we can learn to anticipate these disruptions.
I like that. Okay, so what else?
They also talk about developing heuristics.
Heuristics?
Basically, they're like rules of thumb based on expert knowledge.
Oh, okay.
That can help us forecast future trends.
So it's not just random guessing. It's about tapping into the wisdom of, like, people who've seen these patterns play out before.
Right.
Okay, cool. Anything else?
Well, Vojak and Chambers don't just stop there. They also stress understanding past patterns in detail.
So it's about going deeper, right? Like, not just getting the general idea, but really digging into the specifics of how those disruptions happened.
Exactly.
This is getting pretty in-depth.
It is. But remember, Vojak and Chambers are all about practical application. So the final piece of sales is about developing proactive responses.
So it's not enough to just see it coming.
You got to have a plan to deal with it.
So sales isn't just about observation. It's about action, right?
100%. It's about helping companies figure out how to adapt, whether that's by, you know, developing new tech, protecting their IP, forming partnerships, or all of the above.
Okay, I'm starting to see how powerful this could be. What are some of the benefits companies could see from using sales?
Well, one of the big ones Vojak and Chambers talk about is, you know, enhanced predictive capabilities. Companies that use sales are less likely to be caught flat-footed when, you know, those major shifts happen.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Things change so quickly these days. Being able to see those changes coming could be like the difference between being a leader and, you know, being left in the dust.
Absolutely. And sales also really encourages companies to be proactive about innovating. You know, it's not just about reacting to the competition. It's about driving change in your industry.
Right. It's like being on the offensive instead of always playing defense.
Exactly. And when you can spot those disruptive technologies early on, well, that gives you a huge competitive advantage, right? Companies using sales can get a head start on developing and protecting those, you know, game-changing innovations.
So sales could be like a secret weapon for companies that want to stay ahead of the curve. But, you know, every approach has its downsides. Did Vojak and Chambers address any potential challenges or drawbacks to using sales?
They did. One challenge they point out is the risk of expert bias.
Oh, interesting.
You know, the predictions that sales makes are based on the input of experts, right? So it's super important to have a diverse group of perspectives to avoid those blind spots.
Yeah, that makes sense. If everyone's coming from the same background with the same experiences, they might miss some crucial signals, you know?
Absolutely. And Vojak and Chambers also recognize that sales can be pretty resource intensive.
Oh, so?
It takes time and effort and expertise to implement sales effectively. It might not be feasible for every company, especially smaller ones with limited resources.
So it's not like a one-size-fits-all solution. It takes a commitment.
Right. And even with the right resources, you always have the possibility of organizational resistance.
Because change is hard.
Yeah.
Right?
It can be. Some companies might be hesitant to adopt a whole new way of thinking, even if it's, you know, beneficial in the long run.
I guess that's human nature. We like what's familiar, even when it's not working for us.
But the truth is, the tech landscape is anything but static. It's constantly changing.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the theory behind sales, but how does this actually translate into a, like, real-world tool for IP roadmapping?
So one key application is that sales helps companies pinpoint those areas that are ripe for disruption.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
This allows them to really focus their IP strategy on protecting those game-changing innovations, ideally before they even hit the market.
So it's about being proactive, getting those patents and trademarks in place before things get, you know, too competitive.
Exactly. Knowing where disruption is likely to hit lets companies be strategic about their IP protection.
Smart. Especially in those fast-paced tech sectors where, you know, today's cutting edge is tomorrow's old news. What else can companies do with this knowledge?
Well, Vojak and Chambers talk about strategic partnerships and licensing.
Okay.
When companies understand the emerging tech landscape, they can identify potential collaborators or licensing opportunities that, you know, align with those disruptive trends.
So it's about working together, right? Mm-hmm. Not just trying to go it alone. Teaming up with others to maximize the impact of those disruptive technologies.
Precisely. And, you know, by focusing on disruptive technologies, sales can actually foster a culture of innovation within a company.
That's interesting. So it's not just about, like, specific patents or products. It's about creating an environment where people are, you know, always thinking about the next big thing.
Exactly. It's about encouraging that mindset of, like, looking ahead, anticipating change, and being ready to adapt.
So we've covered a lot of the theory behind sales. Now, I'd love to hear some real-world examples. Are there any companies that have, you know, successfully used these principles?
Tons. Let's take Apple, for instance.
Okay, yeah, Apple.
Their shift to a more service-oriented model with Apple Music and Apple TV Plus and all that shows how understanding those emerging patterns can lead to, well, innovation and a competitive edge.
Yeah, they basically saw the decline of physical media coming and, you know, adjusted their strategy. They weren't content to just, you know, ride the wave. They wanted to be the ones making it.
Exactly. And they were really proactive about protecting their IP along the way, you know, through patents and strategic partnerships.
So they were thinking several steps ahead, making sure they were in a good position to capitalize on those changes. What other examples come to mind?
Tesla's a great one.
Tesla, okay.
Their early embrace of electric vehicles and self-driving technology really shows how, you know, anticipating disruption can lead to market dominance.
They weren't afraid to go all in on a technology that, I mean, at the time, a lot of people thought it was a long shot, right? But they saw the potential and they aggressively patented their technology.
Exactly. And they've built a company culture that's all about continuous innovation.
These examples really show how powerful sales can be. It's not just an abstract concept. It can have a real impact.
And it all comes back to that core idea, understanding and adapting to disruptive innovation.
Now, we've been focusing on Vojak and Chambers' work, but I'm curious to get your take on this. Where do you see sales going in the future? What are the broader implications?
That's a great question. I think sales has the potential to become even more essential as technology keeps advancing.
Right.
We're living in a time of just constant, unprecedented change, and the companies that can, you know, anticipate and adapt, those are the ones that are going to thrive.
As technology accelerates, it seems like having a framework like sales is only going to become more critical, right?
Yeah.
It's not enough to just keep up. You got to be ahead of the game.
Exactly. And I think we're going to see sales being applied to, you know, more industries and challenges. It's not just for tech companies. Any organization facing disruption can benefit from these principles.
So regardless of your industry, healthcare, finance, manufacturing, whatever, if you're not thinking about how disruption might impact your business,
you're already falling behind.
Fails gives us the tools to not just survive, but to really thrive in this era of constant change.
Exactly. It's about embracing change, not fearing it. It's about seeing disruption as an opportunity. And it's about using your intellectual property strategically to navigate this landscape.
Well said. I think that's a great place to pause for now. We'll be back in a bit to wrap up this deep dive on sales and talk about what it all means for you and your business. Okay, so we're back. And before we wrap up this sales deep dive, I want to touch on something we haven't really talked about directly. You know, Vojak and Chambers really focus on anticipating disruption and navigating it. But what about the responsibility that comes with, you know, all this innovation?
Yeah, that's a really important point. Just because we can develop a technology doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we should. There are definitely ethical things to consider, especially as these innovations get, you know, more powerful.
Right. It's not enough to just be profitable. We got to think about the impact these technologies have on people, on society, you know, even on the planet.
For sure. And that's where, you know, IP roadmapping becomes even more crucial. It's not just about protecting your inventions. It's about using your intellectual property to kind of like steer innovation in a direction that benefits everyone.
So aligning your IP strategy with your values, making sure those technologies are being used responsibly.
Yeah, I think so.
That makes a lot of sense.
And I think that's where sales can really, you know, play a role. By anticipating those disruptions early on, companies have, you know, more time to think about the ethical implications and adjust their IP strategies accordingly.
It's not just reacting. It's about shaping that disruption in a way that aligns with the company's values, you know, their vision for the future.
Exactly. And that's something that Vojak and Chambers talk about, too. They argue that sales can help companies create a more sustainable ethical approach to innovation, one that benefits everyone.
I like that. It brings us back to that core idea behind sales, understanding and adapting to disruptive innovation. It's not just surviving. It's about thriving in a way that's responsible, you know, ethical, and ultimately good for everyone.
I completely agree. And I think that's, you know, a key takeaway for our listeners. Disruption is going to happen, whether we like it or not, but we don't have to be afraid of it. By embracing the ideas of sales, we can actually turn disruption into an opportunity, a chance to create a better future.
I love that. Embrace a change, be proactive, think ethically, and use your IP wisely. That's the recipe for success, right?
Yeah, I think so. And remember, the future isn't something that just happens to us. It's something we create.
Well said. And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our sales deep dive. I want to thank everyone for joining us on this, you know, exploration of disruptive innovation and IP roadmapping. I hope you found it useful and inspiring.
And be sure to check out the show notes for, you know, links to the paper by Vojak and Chambers, as well as some other resources.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Deep Dive.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.